Bibles and let's go back to Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, we find one of my favorite accounts in Scripture of a life being changed by the power of Christ. A life being changed because someone decided to put their faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to talk about the name of Jesus, that precious name, that powerful name, that peaceful name, that name that that name that is above every name that's mentioned. Obviously, there's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. But obviously, as a child of God, when you hear the name Jesus, it should do something to your heart. It should encourage you. It should remind you of his greatness and his goodness and his faithfulness. Tonight, as we look at Acts chapter 3, I want to read verses 1 through 10. And then we'll look at verse 16 after we pray. But starting off, verses 1 through 10 of Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And let's go into the Lord in prayer. Father, again, Lord, we come to before you tonight, asking that you speak to our hearts and guide us according to your will tonight. Father, I just thank you for all the accounts in Scripture of lives being changed by Christ. And I thank you, Father, tonight there is a sanctuary that is filled with people that their lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us tonight according to your will. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us of the things that we need to remember, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged. I pray you challenge us where we need to be challenged. But, Lord, through it all, we ask that you would receive all the glory and honor that's due unto your name, that Christ would be lifted up, our faith would be strengthened. And I pray, Lord, that we would be resolved in our hearts and in our spirits and in our lives to continue faithfully trusting in Christ each and every day, faithfully following our Savior, faithfully looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. I pray, Lord, that you would bless your people. These are your people, and I pray that you bless them in a very special way tonight, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, when you think about the account in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John going up to the church house, going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, just being in the right place at the right time. They had no idea what was going to happen. They had no idea that they were going to run into this man that was there, but they're going to the temple, and there is this man laid there at the beautiful gate, as he often was, and just asking alms, begging for money. And you know the account is this man is laid there, not able to walk, he's never been able to walk a day in his life, but there just asking for money, asking for help. You know, Peter gives him the best help that he can give him, because people do need the Lord. Yes, people need financial help. People need physical help. But more than that, they need the spiritual help that comes through the Lord. And Peter, obviously, I just love it. Often I kind of quote it and I bring it up, but I just love the fact that Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none." Because you know what? Often we think we don't have anything to offer people. I don't have, you know, I'd love to help them, but I don't have what they physically need. But we do have what they spiritually need. And though Peter did not have the money, the silver and gold that the man was asking for, yet he knew he had something that could far better help this man eternally than what he just physically needed. And as he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." You know what? You and I have something that we can give to people. You and I have something, someone we can introduce people to, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's exactly what Peter does. He says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, at this point, this man was not looking at Peter, but when Peter says, "Look on us," and then Peter says what he says, he takes the man by the right hand. Now, again, some may think, oh, Peter's the one that healed him. I mean, when he goes in the temple, you look at the later verses and all the people gather around and Peter says, "Why you look on us as though we healed this man?" It was Jesus Christ who did. But this lame man had to put his faith in the name of Jesus Christ, because Peter says, "In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he simply gives him a right hand and is going to just kind of give him that encouragement that you can do it. You can put your faith in Christ and he will heal you. Verse 16 tells us that's exactly what this man did. In verse 16, as Peter is talking to the crowd that is in the temple that's gathered around, because again, we're told that they knew who he was at the end. In verse 10, let me back up a little bit. Verse 10, they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. So all the people that passed by him, some that had given him alms and had helped him, they see him now in the temple leaping and praising God for what God had done in his life. And they are gathered around and they're looking at Peter and John and they're just in amazement at what has happened. And they're wondering, how did this happen? And obviously Peter gives praise and glory to the Lord. But notice in verse 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong." So Peter gives credit, number one, to Jesus Christ as the one that made the man strong. But this man, who we don't know his name, put his faith in the name of Christ to even take Peter by the right hand and even to stand up. Now, I have no idea what this man felt on that day. I have no idea what the feelings might have been in his legs. But I know there's been times in my life where the Lord has touched me and I have felt something on the inside of me. I've felt the Lord's presence. I have felt the healing of God. And it's hard to explain. It's not something spooky. It's not something weird. I know there are denominations out there that kind of make the Holy Spirit kind of weird. But you think about the Holy Spirit of God, you think about the touch of God on a person's life. Let me just ask you, has your life been made whole by Christ? Have you experienced the goodness of God in your life? Maybe not like this man, but spiritually, you and I were lame. Spiritually, we had no strength until we put our faith in the name of Christ, put our faith in Jesus Christ, and then we were made whole and we had strength, the strength of the Lord. And Peter again says, "In his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now again, if you have experienced the goodness of God in your life, you've experienced the Lord doing something in your life, no doubt there's been times in your life where you have rejoiced in the Lord, and maybe you have jumped up and down in excitement. And you know what? It's okay to jump up and down in excitement when God does something in your life. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to let people see that you have the joy of the Lord. Because you know what? The joy of the Lord is catchy. Again, my dad always told me when I would get a bad attitude with him, he always would tell me and look at me over his sunglasses and say, "Attitudes are contagious." And that meant I better back up. I better rethink how I'm acting towards my dad. And I always did, because it was just the look. It was just the look made you be quiet. But when you think about, you know what? Not only are bad attitudes contagious, but good attitudes are too. Someone who is joyous, someone who has the joy of the Lord, someone who just... They're what we would call maybe, you know, a bubbly attitude. I mean, there's just something about them. It draws people to them. When you read in the Gospels, Jesus drew crowds to him. People loved to hear him speak, and they loved to be around him because there was something different about Christ. Listen, when the Lord comes into a life, when a life is changed, like this man, never having walked a day in his life, and now he's able to walk because he trusted in the name that was presented to him. Peter was very careful to say, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Because everybody knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. They knew he was the man that went about doing good. They knew that he was the one healing people. But this man also knew he was the one that they crucified. He was the one that many hated and many had gotten rid of. But yet you can't get rid of Christ, can you? Yet on this day, this man was in the right place at the right time. You know what? God is always on time, isn't he? God always is on time in your life. This man was in a great place to be healed of the Lord, a great place to see the power of God move in his life. And this evening, I want us to think about the name of Jesus and what a wonderful name it is, and the fact that you and I still need to put our faith and trust in the name of Jesus Christ. Because again, Peter says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. He put his faith in the name of Jesus Christ because there's something about the name of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful name. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 9 with me. As we think about the wonderful name of Jesus and what his name means, Isaiah chapter 9, you look at verse number 6. As Isaiah prophesies of the coming Messiah, he speaks about a virgin giving birth to a son. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. You know what? When you think about the name of Jesus Christ, there's something wonderful about that name. Because it's just not a human name. It's just not another name that people name their children. I mean, it's a name that speaks of wonderfulness. It's a name that speaks of powerfulness. It's a name that speaks of redemption and salvation, forgiveness and grace. It's a name that speaks of the one who loves you, the one who cares for you, the one who's there for you, the one who will give you strength in your life, as he gave strength to the man in his legs. He goes on to say in verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. You know, there's not another counselor in this world like Jesus Christ, who gives the greatest counsel. The Mighty God. You know what? When you think about the name of Jesus Christ and you meditate upon him, you can't help but to think about how mighty he is, that there's nothing he cannot do. He's the God of the impossible. He's the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So the wonderful name of Jesus reminds us of just who he is. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is Christ was going to be born of a virgin. The angel Gabriel comes to Joseph in a dream, and Joseph is contemplating about not marrying Mary because she was found with child, and he's not quite sure. He's assuming that she has cheated on him because they were engaged but had not been married yet. And he's a man of integrity, and as the Bible says, he's thinking about just putting her away privately, just kind of privately cutting off the marriage. But yet the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So when you think about the wonderful name of Jesus, you think about the fact that he's a mighty God and he's wonderful. But you also think about he's the Savior. When you think about the name Jesus, you and I are reminded of the fact that our sins have been paid for. We have been forgiven. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. Remember, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So when Peter tells this man to believe on the name of Jesus Christ, when he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it's all these things. Believing on not some man, but believing on the mighty God, believing on the everlasting Father, believing on the one who saves you from your sin. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, if you would. The Bible says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. There's not another name like Jesus. I know there are some in this world who have taken that name. Their parents have named him Jesus, Jesus. But you know what? There's not another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's not another name under heaven that is spoken, that has authority and power with it, but also brings comfort and peace and reminds us of the love of God. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful name this name of Jesus is. And Peter said, told this young man, young or old, whatever age he is, told him, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. There's a time in our life where, yes, you put your faith and trust in Jesus for salvation, but then there needs to come a time where every day we're calling on the name of Jesus. We're still trusting in that name. We still have faith in that name because we need to trust in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Trusting in the authority of his name. Do you believe that there's authority in the name of Jesus? Now, those that don't believe there's authority in that name, they take that name and they drag it through the mud. They use it as a curse word. And you hear it quite often, probably in the workplace, maybe by family members, of people just out and about. You hear people just, they say Jesus Christ, but it's not with love, is it? And every time I hear it, man, it just grades me the wrong way, and it bothers me, because there's love in the name of Jesus. There's power in that name, and that name, when that name is spoken, it just reminds me of how good he is and how he came into my life and changed me, and how that person that speaks the name of Jesus as a curse word needs to come to know the one that's behind that name. Needs to come and know the power that's behind that name and the forgiveness that's behind that name and the love that's behind that name. But you and I continuing to trust in the authority of his name in Matthew chapter 8. You look at verse 5 through 9. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Understand, here's a Roman centurion, someone who has authority, someone who tells soldiers what to do, and they do it without talking back. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now listen, this centurion believed that Jesus could simply speak the word where he was at, and his servant would be healed. The centurion believed in the authority that was behind the name of Jesus Christ, because he goes on to say in verse 9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And he goes on to say a few more things, but look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Do you still believe in the authority that's behind the name of Jesus Christ? There are times in our lives where we have to say the name of Jesus in order to get the devil off our back. Sometimes we have to tell the devil, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, leave me alone. Because again, it's not us, but it's Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. And that centurion believed it. Believed it so much that Jesus was going to come to his house, but the centurion sent word and said no. When the centurion found out that Jesus was coming, he sent word and said, I'm not worthy for him to come into my house. But Lord, just speak the word and I know it'll be done. Do you still believe that the word of God is powerful? Because Jesus is the word. Do you still believe that when Jesus speaks, it is done? Do you still believe that there is authority in the name of Jesus Christ? Because again, this man that Peter helped on this day believed in that name. He put his faith in the name of Jesus. You know, he could have just laid there and said, I don't believe that. If you don't have any money, move along because I need money. I need real help. You know, I often hear people say, I need real help. When you tell them to cry out to the Lord, when you tell them to read their Bible, the authority of God's word. And people will say, well, I need real help. You know what? You can't find real help outside of the Lord. I mean, we have the examples in Scripture. Again, the centurion who believed that Jesus had the authority just to speak the word and his servant would be healed. We also have, if you would, we have a man by the name of Jairus, whose daughter was dying. And he came to Jesus and wanted Jesus to come with him. He believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. But then as they're coming to the house, obviously Jesus is delayed by a woman that has an issue of blood for 12 years. She comes, she touches the hem of his garment. And while they're there and Jairus is just waiting on Jesus, being very patient, no doubt wanting Jesus to kind of hurry up. Yet people came from his house and said, trouble the master no more because thy daughter is dead. And as soon as Jesus heard it, listen, Jesus wants you and I to have the faith and keep the faith that he is still able to do anything in our life. Because as soon as Jesus hears the word spoken to Jairus, the Bible records that Jesus turns to Jairus and says, believe only. Believe only. And they continue on to the house. And when they get there, yes, his daughter had passed away. But then Jesus goes into the house. Takes Jairus, takes the mother into the room where the child is. She's 12 years old, and Jesus commands her to arise, and she arises. What if Jairus had not believed in the authority of Jesus? Well, if he had not come to Jesus, what if he had not trusted in Jesus? Then his daughter would not have been helped. You know, often people do not get the help from the Lord they need because they're not trusting him. They don't go to him. They don't believe that he can. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 9. Not only do we need to continue trusting in the authority of the name of Jesus, but we need to trust in the guidance of the name of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, and you look at verse 27. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. The Bible says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. Again, these blind men came to Jesus wanting their sight to be restored, wanting to be able to see, and Jesus asked them, Believe ye that I'm able to do this? You know, often the Lord speaks to our hearts and asks the same question. Do you believe I can do this? Remember, it only takes a grain of faith like a mustard seed to be able to have the Lord work on our behalf. Because again, the Lord remembers our faults. He remembers our shortcomings. He remembers our struggles. He knows that we struggle at times with faith, believing and trusting. But in the account of these blind men, they just came trusting that Jesus could heal them and give them sight. You know, we need to trust in the guidance of God. We need to trust that the Lord can still guide us through this life. Because remember, Elisha asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant so the servant can see there were more with Elisha than with the enemy. Do you believe that God can still guide you? These blind men believe that the Lord could give them sight and help them to see. Again, we don't know the future, but we know the one who knows the future and can guide us through the future, the one who can guide us according to his will and to help us. Again, the name of Jesus, there's something wonderful in that name. Well, we need to continue trusting in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and trusting in the guidance of his name. He does give guidance, asking the Lord for guidance. Look with me at Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus asked this question to the Father and says, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now, how simple is that? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And all throughout Scripture, we have ordinary people that simply believed Jesus could do what they were asking. Again, the centurion asking Jesus just to speak the word and my servant will be healed. Jairus believing that Jesus could heal his daughter. The blind man believing that Jesus could give them sight. You know, you think about the blind man Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road and hearing the crowds going by and hearing that it was Jesus going by, and he cries out, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon me." And you read that account, the people try to hush him up and try to tell him to be quiet. And yet the more he was told to be quiet, the louder he cried out to Jesus. You know, sometimes as we're crying out to the Lord, there's something trying to get us to be quiet. There's an enemy trying to get us to believe that our prayers are not being heard and just be quiet. But you know what? The more we feel like we shouldn't cry out to the Lord, the more we should cry out to him. Again, as Bartimaeus continued crying out to the Lord stopped and called for him and asked him, "What would you have me to do?" And he just wanted to be able to see. You know, often the Lord would tell people, "According to thy faith, according to thy faith." Again, if we have just a little bit of faith, the Lord can do great things. But as the Lord does great things in our life, we should continue to grow in our faith. Our faith should grow, and we should be excited about, just excited as the man at the temple who's leaping and praising God for giving him strength in his legs. Again, this morning we talked about being strengthened within. And we ought to praise the Lord that he does give us the strength to face each day. We ought to praise the Lord that, you know what, he gives us the insight. He gives us the wisdom. He gives us the ability to be able to see when things aren't right in our life and things aren't right in situations. He gives us the wisdom. But think about the name of Jesus Christ. You and I cannot live this life without Jesus Christ. You and I cannot have success without the Lord. We need to continue rejoicing in that name and continue trusting in the name of Jesus Christ and the authority that comes with it and the fact that he is the mighty God. He's wonderful, the counselor. You look back, if you would, at Acts chapter 3 and look at verse 16 again. And just kind of looking at the fact that this man was strengthened in his legs. He was weak in an area of his life. And the Lord came into his life and strengthened him. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. Made him strong. He was weak in an area of his life, but now, because he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in that the powerful name of Christ, he was made strong in the weak areas of his life. You know, that we have weak areas in our life that we need the Lord to strengthen us. We need to cry out to the Lord and trust that he'll give us the strength to overcome sin in our life, to overcome the devil's fiery darts in our life, areas in our life maybe where we're not very strong in convictions in our life. We're not strong in our Bible reading. We're not strong in our prayer life, and we need to seek the Lord to strengthen us in these areas so that we can be able to defend ourselves against the devil. Because in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that in that day that we are in that spiritual battle, we're standing in the confidence of God's armor. We're standing in the strength of God's armor. When those fiery darts come and the devil fights against us, we're able to stand and having done everything to stand. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, if you would. Colossians chapter 1. Again, when you think about, many people will not call upon the name of the Lord because they will not trust in that name. You know, there was someone who Paul preached to, and Paul gave a great, great salvation testimony, a great salvation invitation, if you will. And the man just said, "Almost, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." He just couldn't put his faith in Christ. You know, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, there are times where we're tempted not to put our faith in Christ, not to believe that he can strengthen us, he can change us and help us. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, when you think about the man who received strength in his legs, he received exactly what he needed for that moment and for his life. He received strength in his legs, but he received the Lord Jesus Christ into his life because he put his faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, the devil, our adversary, is completely fine with you having a Bible. He's fine with us attending church. He's fine with us breathing prayers at different times, so much as we just don't put a lot of faith into it and don't trust the Lord. Now, there are some that will pray without breathing the name of Jesus. But there's power in that name. Why is that name hated? You know, when you read through the book of Acts, you'll find in the beginning where Peter is told by the religious rulers, "Do not speak in that name. Do your teaching, do what you want to do, but don't breathe the name of Jesus." Why? Because there's power in that name, there's compassion in that name, there's love in that name, there's forgiveness in that name. Again, when you hear the name Jesus, it should do something to your heart. It should take your mind back to the day that the Lord came into your life and gave you spiritual strength in your life, where you cried out to the name of Jesus Christ and he came into your life. Again, there are areas in all of our lives that need spiritual strengthening. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 4. And Jesus is the one who gives us that strength. I mean, there's areas in our life we need strengthening. I've already mentioned them, whether it's our Bible reading, prayer time, witnessing, loving others, being kind, being patient. You know, whatever it may be, we all have areas of our life that needs to be strengthened and strengthened by Jesus Christ. Again, we're reminded in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." There's not a single thing that God calls us to do that we cannot do through the power of Christ. But we still have to believe in that name. We still have to have faith in the name of Jesus Christ and cry out to him and ask him, "Lord, help me, strengthen me." Again, God knows our shortcomings. He knows where our struggles are. We're not fooling him. We can fool people, but we cannot fool God. And God wants to strengthen us. He wants to build our faith, and he wants our faith to be built upon him, and he wants us to be strengthened in our walk with him. Again, when I think about the man in Acts chapter 3 who was just going about his normal business, his normal routine of the day, laying there helpless, God sent someone to him to help him. Yes, it was the hour of prayer. It was a place and time that Peter obviously often went. But this man was there, and his life was about to be changed. And it was changed by simply putting his faith and trust in the name that was breathed to him, in the name that was spoken to him. And because he was trusting in the name of Jesus, he willingly took Peter's hand and stood up. You know, sometimes we have to, by faith, take the hand of God and stand up and let him strengthen us in our lives and in the areas that we're weak in. When you think about verse 16, again, he was made strong, Peter says. His name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That perfect soundness speaks of wholeness. It speaks of stability. And when he put his faith in that name that was spoken, he found strength in his legs. He found a wholeness in his life. He found stability now. Now he found stability where he was weak. And that's exactly what the Lord wants to do in our life, is to restore stability in the areas that we may be weak in. Look at Luke chapter 8, if you would. A few more verses here. Luke chapter 8. I mentioned this story earlier, but you'll listen to it, verse 41 and 42. It's the account of Jairus, all right? In verse 41, behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. So he was someone who was in authority. He was someone that people looked up to. But yet, in this time of his life, he didn't care who knew. Again, the rulers of the synagogues, many of them, the scribes and the Pharisees, were denouncing Jesus as the Messiah. They were trying to turn people against him. They were trying to trip him up in his words and kind of try to get Jesus to do something against the law and just trying to do all kinds of things. But Jairus, the most important thing to him in his life right at this moment was his daughter. And he was willing to go to Jesus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Sometimes we do need to fall down at the feet of Christ. You know, we kind of talked about that this morning, about bowing down before the Lord. You know, again, when there are things going on in your life, sometimes just in despair, you may have dropped to your knees in desperation and just crying and weeping and crying out to the Lord. And Jairus here, he falls at Jesus' feet. He's showing that he is putting himself in the hands of God. He is bowing before the Lord. He is saying, You are my hope. You are all that I have. You're the only one that can help me. And he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And you look at verse 49, it's the crowds there. You've got a woman that comes and touches him of his garment. Verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Often you hear that soft, still voice telling you, fear not, believe only. You have a louder voice that says, don't believe, just, it's over, it's finished. And no doubt, the voice, the words of those men that came to Jairus and said, trouble not the master, thy daughter is dead. No doubt those words wanted to have his full attention, because someone who was near and dear to his heart, someone that he was trying to help, has passed away. And no doubt wants to take the attention off of Christ, but Jesus speaks. Remember, there's power in the word of God. There's authority. There's love and compassion. And no doubt when Jesus spoke to Jairus, no doubt he heard authority. He heard love. He heard compassion. Because Jesus says, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And praise the Lord, when you get to the end, in verse 54, he put them all out. Jesus put everyone out of the room except for the mother, the father, and those disciples that were with him, and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And straightway arose. He gave perfect soundness to this young lady that was gone. The body was lifeless. There may be some lifelessness. There may be some areas of our life where there's no life. The life's gone out. And it's an area that's very important. It's an area, it's a part of your life that needs to be given back over to the Lord. It's an area of our life that we need God to breathe life back into it. And he has the ability to do that. He has the ability to give us that soundness in our life that we need, to give us that wholeness and that stability through Jesus Christ. Again, when you think about what's going on in Acts, and you think about how Peter came there, and Peter didn't have any monetary gift to give to the man, but he had a spiritual gift to offer him, and that was Jesus Christ. To be honest, if we don't believe Jesus Christ can change a life, we won't offer him to anybody. But when we believe that Jesus is the gift of life, when Jesus is what people need, we will willingly offer him to people that are asking for help. Because we've experienced that same help in our life. We've experienced the strength of the Lord in our life. We've experienced where our life was so weak that the Lord came and strengthened us. Have you experienced the strength of the Lord in your life? Have you experienced the goodness of God in your life? No doubt you have. And no doubt you will continue. But think about the name of Jesus. It's a precious name. It's a name that some people don't want to hear. It's a name that some people will say, you know, shh, don't speak that name. But how can you keep God's people from speaking a name that's very precious to them, a name that's very powerful, a name that speaks of comfort and peace and love and stability and strength and eternity, a name that is above every name, a name that you called upon one day for salvation, and a name that no doubt you call upon every day for strength. So remember, just as a lame man believed on the name of Jesus Christ, continue believing on the name of Christ. Continue calling out to Christ. Continue having love and compassion for that name. And let it be a name that you talk about. A name that you talk about to others. A name that you, when you speak the name of Jesus, it brings a smile to your face. It brings joy to your heart because you think about all the goodness that he's done to you. You think about his faithfulness, and you think about the fact that he has strengthened you. Have you been strengthened in the Lord? Can you think of times where you cried out to the Lord and he helped you? Because he always does. Because we know as parents, there's not one of our children that we wouldn't help when they cry out to us, when they come to us, that we wouldn't help them. And no doubt our Heavenly Father, when we cry out to him, he helps us and strengthens us. The precious name of Jesus. Go ahead and stand if you would, and we'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for, Lord, just your goodness and your faithfulness. And I thank you, Father, for the life that was changed. As we read in the book of Acts, the life that was strengthened. Sure, his legs were given strength so that he could stand up. And not just stand up, but walk. And not just walk, but to leap. To be able to do things he never had done before. And while he was doing all of that, walking and leaping, he was praising you. Father, help us to continue praising you each and every day for the goodness that you've given us in our life. Thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. Help us to praise you. I believe, Lord, we need to praise you more. Not just ask you for things, but to praise you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. As the piano begins to play, I'll give you a few moments alone in prayer.